So good morning. How's Willow Drive today? It's so good to be with you. We see so many familiar faces and have a lot of memories flooding our minds when we walk through the halls of this building. We got to serve in this place for 24 years, left about 8 years ago, or in Kansas City now. So we're just thrilled to hear the good reports of what God's doing here. And we love you, and we have a real special place in our heart for Willow Drive. I am pumped about where God is going to take this little church body next. And you know, it's an invitation. It's something that you're going to get to hear about, something you've been praying about, I understand, and something that you have the invitation to step into to continue the journey of Willow Drive and move into new territory. Now, let's face it, nobody wants to really be at the same place where you are right now in 1 to 3 to 5 years, as far as your spiritual progress and the things that you're accomplishing on the earth, right? And how many of you know that that usually requires putting a few things into motion, making a few changes, reaching forward into what is before you? And so this morning, I just want to bring you an exhortation. I want to bring you an encouraging word and celebrate what God has already done here, anticipate the future together with you, and help you get ready to step into that with your whole heart. Does that sound like a good plan? Yeah. All right, good. Then I think that's what we're going to do. You know, when I was actually on Facebook the other night from my hotel at Candlewood Suites, which our manager's here in the room somewhere, so we tried to leave everything in good order. But I was talking to Pastor Ernie. How many of you remember Ernie James, who was pastor prior to Scott? A few of you, a handful of you. And I told Ernie, I said, guess where we are? We're at Willow Drive Baptist Church today, and we're going to get to speak to the people and encourage them into what's next. And I found myself typing a little, it's what happens when you get started, typing them a little message. And I said, you know, you're one of my heroes. You really laid a foundation of love in this place. And the prayers that were prayed and the work that was done was part of what happened next when Brother Scott came. And then Scott led well and leads well and building on that foundation. And now here we are finding ourselves at a juncture to look forward and say, God, what would you want to do next? What is next for Willow? We don't want to stay stagnant. To stay stagnant is to die. And we're here to live and to bring life and not death. So how many of you would love to see this whole sanctuary filled up to the overflow in a year or two? Wouldn't that be glorious? And guess what? You get to help make that happen. Now, I'm not saying that you're headed into some big numbers program. In fact, Scott's going to unpack some of these invitations and values for you. But I just want to open your thinking to the possibilities a little bit today. So I'm going to ask you to kind of sit on the edge of your seat, kind of pay attention, sit up on the inside, and say, God, what do you have for me today? Do you think God brought you here and didn't have something for you? I don't think so. And so this is going to be for you in your individual life, and it's also going to be for the church body that's going to build here in Willow and move forward. But there's something for everybody. So just in your own heart, say, hey, there's something for me, and I want it. And so in order to do that, you just need to position yourself to hear. And as the Lord speaks to you and as the Holy Spirit highlights things, there'll be maybe a verse, maybe a story, maybe an example that, you know, you may say, that's just what I needed to hear today. And so I just believe God's a good God. We just sang He's a good, good Father. Do you believe that? And so He wants to speak to us now as we enter into a little discussion. And frankly, I'm just going to be speaking from the heart today. Is that all right? Is that all right? Okay, good. So we're going to keep on going with this and talk about how Willow is continuing a journey and how you're getting ready to enter some new territory. We're going to take a couple of examples from Scripture to look at, and I'm going to tell you, I have all the references here. I'm not going to unpack and read every single scripture, but I'm happy to make these available to you afterwards if you want to take them for further study. But I'm going to hit the highlights of these stories. And we're going to start with looking at an example here about journeying into new territory and maybe what those steps might include. And this works for you anytime you're entering new territory. First of all, you have to define the new territory. You have to say, well, where are we going to go? When you get ready to take a trip, you probably get out a map. That's what we used to do. Now you do MapQuest or you put it on your phone, right? You just tell your phone, take me to wherever. And out come your instructions. But somebody's got to know what the directions are for getting from point A to getting to point B. Otherwise, we could meander around, never really getting to our destination. So as a church body, you have a specific invitation to new territory that is coming for you, that God's inviting you into. So somebody's got to define that. That's why your pastor's been praying, your prayer team's been praying, your vision community leaders have been meeting. We met yesterday, 8 a.m., bright and early. And I said, now what would make you all willing to come somewhere at 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning? And somebody piped up and said, well, this is important work. It's about the church. It's about the future of Willow. It's about a destiny of a church body. Someone else kind of rubbed their eyes and said, well, I'm not sure. I just set my alarm and got up and came, but I'm ready to see whatever is going to be next. And so, you know, you've got to have some faith, and then sometimes you just got to set your alarm and show up. And right, Gail, show up and get there and be ready to go. So with those kinds of practices and attitudes, we're all positioning ourselves up on the edge of our seat to say, God, what do you have for me and what do you have for Willow? So we define new territory and understand what that looks like. And then we have to say, well, so God, what's our assignment? What do you have for us to do? What do you have for us to accomplish? And then there's a preparation stage. Our leaders get prepared. Our whole group of people get prepared. And today is really about that step. It's about all of us together preparing our hearts to be ready to move forward into new territory. And then guess what? Then you actually have to enter. You have to get up and quit talking about it and enter into the new territory. Sometimes when we set new goals or get ready to go in a new direction, let's just be honest, the future can seem a little daunting. It can be kind of frightening. Like, how are we going to do all that? And it's easy, it's normal to think those thoughts. So don't be caught off guard when you kind of find yourself reeling a little bit. But instead, like, lean in and say, God, so what part can I play? What do you want me to do? Who could I invite? Who could I bring? Who could I encourage in a particular way at Willow Drive? And so we actually have to get in motion. And do you know what? A beautiful thing happens when you just set out to put your left foot out. Then God shows you where to put your right foot. And then God shows you where to put your, take your next step. So getting in motion is really important because God continues to steer the ship of the momentum as we enter the new territory. And I'm going to give you a few practical ways to enter this territory today as well. And then we have to do the work. And that is the prayer. That's the teaching. That's the ministry. That's whatever it is that Willow decides to do to enter this new territory. There's always work to do. And guess what? It takes all of you. It takes all of us doing our part. So just in your heart, think, you know what? In all of this, there's a place for me. And be asking God to help you understand as you go forward what that would be. Now let's look at a couple of examples in the Word where this happened. Let's start with Moses. We know that Moses was given a territory and an assignment. And he was sent, here it says in the scripture, to do signs and wonders where? In the land of Egypt. Why? To bring the people out. So he had a real specific instruction from the Lord. And he didn't know how to do it either. And he encountered all kinds of obstacles. And he said, you know what, God? If you don't go with me, I can't go, right? And the Lord was with him, and he did go. And so Moses accomplished a large portion of his assignment, but something that is a sobering moment I want us to just pause and recognize right now is that Moses actually did not get to enter the promised land. Remember that part of the story? And earlier in the journey, he had been instructed by God very clearly, okay, you need water. I got a rock here. And what I want you to do, you just speak to that rock, and you're going to get water. Simple enough, right? So Moses set out, probably with a good heart, expecting to do just that. But like any good leader, he had everyone's attention, and must have had a little flair for the dramatic there. And so he picks up a big stick and he goes, I'm going to strike the rock and bring water. Now you might say, well, what's the harm? Well, the harm was that that disobedience cost Moses the joy and the pleasure of totally entering into the promised land. You know, he could see it. He was right on the border. God loved him. Moses loved God. God was ready to take him on. And he did that and passed the torch. But let's just recognize for a moment that, you know what? To take things in our own hands, or for some reason to decide not to go with God, is a costly decision. Because none of us want to get to that place as a church or in our own lives where we can actually see what God has beckoned us to walk towards and to stop short of entering into that new territory. So don't you want to enter the new territory God has for Willow and for you as a person? And let me just tell you a little benefit. God doesn't do something like this and just work with an organization or a church. You know what he's working with? Individual hearts. Your heart, my heart, everyone's heart who's been involved with this journey, who will come to Willow in the future and be touched by the ministries here and the presence of God here. You have such a special thing here. I hope you know that. Rick and I were driving in this morning. My husband's back here in the back. Wave, baby. And he says, you know, I can always worship at Willow easier than any other place. And we're at the International House of Prayer in a 24/7 prayer house, and it's glorious. But you know what? There's nowhere like this to us. This is where we cut our teeth on worship and the things of the Holy Spirit. And we love this place. And I hope that you realize how beautiful a place it is and how wonderful it is that God has assigned you right here, right now. So we want to see you, we personally want to see you enter into new territory that God has for Willow. A foundation has been laid. Brother Ernie did work. Brother Scott has done great work. You have done great work. And now it's time to position ourselves and prepare ourselves to say, God, what would be next? Because we don't want to be like Moses and just see it and not fully enter in. You know, another great leader I want to look at a moment. Here's Joshua. He had a territory. He had an assignment. Arise and go over this Jordan into the land I'm giving them, speaking of the children of Israel, and every place the sole of your feet will tread, I've given it to you. From the wilderness to the going down of the sun shall be your territory. Notice that little right in the very middle. It says, every place where you set the sole of your foot. What has to happen? If you're going to take territory, you got to put one foot in front of the other. Every place you set the sole of your foot, God's going to be bringing new revelation, new confirmation, new encouragement about where this thing is going. So it requires the action. Now, his territory was go over the Jordan and all that land I'm giving those folks. And he said, and take the children in so they can possess the land. So again, what do we see? A territory and an assignment. Now, Joshua was a great man of faith. He was the one who would be sent on special assignments to go out and do the research and spy the land. And he's the one who always seemed to have the faith to actually enter into the new land. He was one who was a model leader in many ways. And Caleb is one under his team, I'll say, who had some really powerful lessons for us. I just want you to see the kind of the good and the bad and the ugly. How do you take a territory? How do you lose it? How do you actually enter into it? Well, here's the next thing that happens. You get the territory, get the assignment. Now we got to prepare. And the very next thing that happens is that the leaders go to hear from the Lord. Y'all have been praying for them consistently, and the leaders are praying as well in agreement. And like Joshua, the instructions are be strong and of good courage to the people. You will divide an inheritance of the land for them, again, speaking of territory, which I'm to give them. And then they had to do the research. That was an assignment where they were supposed to go into this land they were going to go to, check it out. What's happening there? What's the activity? What are the risks? What are the demographics, you might say? And so in your vision community teamwork, guess what? They have sought the Lord. They have received encouragement to be strong and courageous. And the vision community has done their research. You may have participated in a congregational survey and given some input. There have been interviews. There have been focus groups and various mechanisms where the vision community has been looking at what the demographics are, what the needs are, and what is God breathing on that would give us research about the land. You don't go in cold. You don't go in without doing your homework. And in the days to come, they'll be communicating the plan. I know Brother Scott's planning in January to begin unveiling the vision and giving the value statements and the priorities so that you can get an in-depth handle on where this thing is going. So that's what the leaders do. Now, I want to talk to you about your vision community just a second. I've already bragged on them a little bit. These are ones who have invested a lot of time and energy, two very intense weekends and many meetings in between. Now, this is a process. And so you pray, you get some information, you process it, you tweak it. It's not an overnight thing. It's not like the Ten Commandments, you know. Of course, that took him a while, didn't it, to hammer those things out. But it takes the dialogue. So that's what your community has been working on. This was taken yesterday morning before 8 o'clock. Scott was here bright and early and ready for the team and even dressed in his fatigues for his assignment. I'm so proud of him as he has flowed in this assignment as a chaplain as well as the leadership of this church. And I watch people who know their core gifts and exercise them in multiple places, and it usually brings a great strength to their message. And I know we're seeing that in Brother Scott. We have here some of the faces of the people that are involved with different aspects of the research for the different ministries of the church. And there they're all smiling, been getting some coffee. We're doing some flip charting. And after a while, they all got a little loopy here. And so, fatigue sets in. You got to laugh a little. You got to work a little. You got to pray a little. But in all of it, God is bringing together a composite picture that Willow is to be a group of people who are awake, who understand what's going on in the world, who are on their post. There are people of increase. There are people who have a strong foundation. There are people who are discipled in the Word. They're healed. They're restored. They're coming up with pathways for other people to get on this journey. I'm saying they, it's you, and I'm going to say we, because we consider ourselves grandfathered in from this place, even though we operate from Kansas City. So the leaders have done their homework and are in a phase now of processing what all this means so that they can then in turn prepare the people. But you know what? Before that happens, there's a preparation that each and every one of you can do yourself. And in fact, you need to. And I want to tell you why I'm so passionate about this. My entire ministry, which Rick and I have been doing quite a bit of traveling lately with Seven Impact Ministry, which is on this same topic, it is teaching men and women to understand their core vision and to bring great impact in the earth in their sphere. And why is it 7M? Some of you may have heard of a seven mountain terminology. Others use seven spheres. But it's the seven lanes of culture and life where we come and go and do our work. How many of you know it's not all going to happen inside the church house? This is a great place, but 97% of the people are the ones we're going to encounter Monday through Friday out there. And when men and women come alive with the fact that they're going to be the church where they are, in the plant, in the school, in City Hall, in the grocery store, wherever your life takes you Monday morning, that you're going to show up with the lights on and full of the Holy Spirit and say, God, use me to be the church today in front of the people that you have placed me next to. That's when they can't wait to come with you on Sunday to your church or on Wednesday to your programs and come in. So there's a preparation of your heart and your approach to life that you're the only one that can do. And it's my goal today to inspire you to do that, perhaps even, should I say, provoke you to do that. And one reason I'm so passionate about that right here in Brazosport It's because I got to do that. My career was at Brazosport College. I had the privilege of building and running a corporate learning center, trained over 150,000 participants when 12 years were done, and right before the Lord moved us on. And I knew God was giving me a prototype at that time to be able to teach other men and women in the workplace how to do their work from a place of prayer. You know, sometimes we think, well, I go and I have prayer, and then I'm done with that, and now I go to get in the car and go to work. Well, no. How about you do that, and then you remain in an attitude of prayer and go to work and be Jesus with skin on to the people all around you? This is how we change a team. It's how we impact a company. It's how we impact a city. And I told Rick, as we were looking around Lake Jackson at all the booming development, I said, you know what? I said, I'd like to think that CBIT, which was the name of our learning center, just had a little something to do with that. We trained a few people. We infused some mindsets. We affected culture. It's still in operation. And we need to sometimes connect the dots. We see ourselves as isolated individuals that have nothing to do with the big picture. Well, you know what? You've got an individual life and goal and dream, and you should go after it with all your heart. And I want to tell you today that when you set out as part of a group like this to do this for a church, you're going to have so much residual effect splash back on you that things that I imagine you may have put on the shelf for a while are going to begin to come alive again. You see, as long as God has got you on this earth, whether you're 13 or whether you're 83 or somewhere on either side of that, God's got stuff for you to do that will thrill your heart. It is not too late. Nobody's on the shelf to coast. If you find yourself there, you can certainly get off that spot. And there are ways that God wants to inspire and invoke an excitement inside your spirit right now as you begin to allow yourself to remember, God, I remember now you prompted me to have a children's Bible club or lead a women's study or have a men's prayer group. I remember you were prompting me to mentor some young people. Do you have any idea, if you're over 35, really over 30, well, really 20, but let me stick with the 30. You've got something somebody else needs. Millennials, in a very general description, is anybody that was born after 1980, but I want to focus in on young career types. Do you know that they are starving for mentors? They want to change the world. They know they have a calling to do great things. And they're doing it in disconnected pockets apart from a faith journey because nobody over 35, 30 or 35, came alongside them and said, we can do that together and we can change culture. And I'm going to show you how it connects to God's kingdom in the earth. Man, you start connecting those dots, this place would be full. If every one of you brought someone else with you that you were mentoring, we wouldn't have enough room in here. And you have something to teach, and you have something to give. You know, Mike Bickle's the leader of the prayer ministry where we were, and I think he was saved at about 14 years old. And his pastor told him, you need to have a Bible study with young boys. So he was 14, and he gathered a bunch of 12-year-olds and started a Bible study. Now he's the leader of an international ministry, but he just started with what he had. And we keep thinking, when I learn a little more, when I get a little further down the road, when I get past this problem or that problem, I'm going to do that. Well, you better start now, and it will speed your journey forward and multiply it over. How many of you realize that the world is becoming a darker place? Where we don't even want to watch the news. It's just a little too scary. Find ourselves getting paralyzed and shutting down because of the kinds of changes in our culture that we never dreamed we would see. And because of the rate of change and the type of change, it's just about paralyzing. Well, guess what? This is to be the finest hour of the church. This is when you get to show up with your heart fully engaged with God, knowing you have an assignment and a sphere of influence. Just picture right now whoever you're going to see next Monday, next Tuesday, tomorrow. Who are you going to see? Customers, neighbors, clients, people in the grocery store, students? Just look at your life. Somehow God has put you on display in front of a few other people that need to know about the hope inside of you. Now, does that mean you show up and preach a sermon and open the hymn book and hop on the cafeteria table and preach a sermon? Probably not. But it does mean you start watching for those opportunities and praying into your day. God is working 7 days a week, not just Sunday morning. And so I hope that I can stir within you the fact that when you enter this new territory and you get ready to possess the land, that you're going to have a day where you say, you know, I haven't exactly done that before. Well, look at Joshua 3:3-4. You haven't gone this way before. Not to the extent that we need to. You may have been in a measure of it, and glory, hallelujah, great, but more. Let's turn it up. You haven't gone this way before, but you need to remember the vision. And so as you think about your personal vision, it could be as simple as to be an encourager. Didn't have to be a big complicated thing. It could be to be a teacher. I had a young man in Houston who's in business, and he said, I just like to be the smiling face on the other side of that table, whatever meeting I'm in. That's his vision, period. So it can be, like you think it has to be huge, maybe it is. It could be as simple as just being that light that somebody needs that you're going to see Monday morning. And when you begin stepping into that and realizing that it's a holy work, everybody has a holy work, then you're going to see great fruit in your personal life as well as Willow. So here's our job. Consecrate your heart. Sometimes we take our calling so lightly. Sanctify yourselves. For tomorrow, the Lord's going to do signs and wonders among us. You know, it's a sign everyone gets saved. It's a sign everyone prays a scripture and gets revelation and hope for the day. It's a sign when someone gets healed. You know, we don't need to be measuring signs. We just need to be receiving them and walking in them to the degree God's doling it out, praying along the way, and being a prepared people ready to step in to the next season. Okay, Danny, can you advance for me? That's done. So let's talk about entering new territory. Next slide, right there, enter new territory. Let's talk about how to do this thing. We have a general idea, new territory, new assignment, taking us forward. We know now that we want to embrace it as individuals as well as with a church. Well, how should we do that? Give us the practicals. Here you go. You want to enter with confidence when facing challenging circumstances, and we want to be like Caleb. Caleb was sent into the enemy land, go do some research, go spy out the land. Same guys, few guys, go see the same stuff. They come back. Look what Caleb's report was. We are well able to take the land. So he sees the same stuff these other guys see, and he comes back. Here's his verdict. We are well able to take the land. Yeah, let's go. However, the others that were with him that saw the same things had a bad report. Here's what they said, looking at the same data. There are giants in the land, and we are like little grasshoppers. Not very exciting, is it? Who's going to go? And they didn't go at that moment. And look what happened to the hearts of the people. The hearts of the people, meaning their confidence, began to melt away. So I want to ask you now to decide, are you going to be the one who gives a Caleb report, who says, awesome, here's the vision, let's do it, let's run together into the future, we're well able to do this. With God's help, yes, we're able to do it. And refuse to be the one who gives a bad report, who goes, well, you know, the vision community, they want to change the world for Jesus. We'll see how that goes. Or what if they say, yep, vision community's got some big goals out there, but, You don't have to say a lot to pour a bucket of cold water on vision. And don't be that person. Don't be that person. How many of you love to spend the day with someone who's telling you all their problems and everything that's wrong? You can be honest. It's not so fun. You see their thing on your phone and you're like, oh, I might be busy, you know. But we need to listen to each other's problems. But hey, don't camp there. Don't camp there. Camp over here with the Caleb report. We are well able to take the land. We've done our research. We know what's out there. And now it's time to march forward. The way you speak with your mouth is very powerful. And if you have a concern about something, you pray about it. And if you have something you want to bring up, there's a good way to bring it up, and there's a negative way to bring it up. But when you're in a movement, you won't move forward if you've got doubt sitting in your mind and if that's what you decide to give voice to. So guard your tongue. Give the Caleb report. Okay, let's go to the next slide. So when that's all in order, we've understood our territory and our assignment, we've done our preparation, consecrated our hearts, time to do the work. And God's people were created to impact the world. You've got a specific assignment right here in Brazoria County, right here in Willow, to be a part of this thing. And the way you carry it out will affect all seven mountains of society in some measure or some degree. We've already talked about the fact that 97% of the people are not in full-time religion. In other words, they're not the preachers and the missionaries. They're the operators and the engineers and the teachers and the secretaries and all the rest. And so when we start recognizing God's given us a platform in these spheres of influence, and look up there, you're going to find one that sticks out to you. Maybe you're primarily family. Maybe you're primarily, do you work at City Hall? Maybe you're in government. Perhaps you're a businessman. Maybe you're more involved in arts. Everybody's got one primary sphere. And business means any type of organization that you work in. You don't have to be a business owner. You work in business, science, or technology. It's a wide category. When God's people begin showing up in all those parts of the earth on assignment, Monday through Friday, with the lights on, what happens to the darkness? The darkness begins to be dispelled. We can't just rail and preach against darkness and have the effect that we have when we actually carry the presence of God and light into every situation where God brings us. And I am actually giving the rest of my life on this message. I've written two books on this, and Rick and I are doing quite a bit of traveling and speaking now in ministries as well as organizations, helping them understand how to harness the power of an individual vision as well as an organizational vision to bring light and to bring transformation. You get to have a part of that story. Let's look at this next slide. And when you do, Brazosport will be a different place. You're going to impact your cubicle, your city, and your region by just showing up every day, carrying God's glory. And you know, sometimes we hear words like that, and we're like, what do you mean? Am I going to have a big halo, or what's it going to look like? Well, maybe it's a word of kindness on your tongue. Maybe it's refusing to jump in the gossip realm. Maybe it's turning the tide of that gossip realm when somebody's letting a company have it or a person have it. And maybe all you do is say, well, you know, I just remember the day they gave me a job. I was glad to have it. And you just walk on out, down the way. Don't have to get in a big debate. Be a climate setter. Be a trend setter. Be a atmosphere setter with what you've got. And you've got the kingdom of God inside of you to change this place. And so the exponential effect of that is very exciting when we start thinking about transformation. So on the next slide, here's the deal. It all starts with you and with me. And I'm going to ask you to consider that you actually have a calling in your life that is divine, that you matter. And that no matter how small you may think your life or impact is, you have no real idea what God is doing with you. And your job is to say, I'm going to just walk with God's presence and the kingdom. I'm going to do what God gives me to do every day. And there's a ripple effect that goes out from there that is incredible, that will change this place. You know, one of my favorite verses in this season comes from 2 Chronicles 16:9. It's the first part. It says this. Listen to it. I'm going to read it a couple of times. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is totally His. Do you know what that means? Did that resonate with you, that the God of all heaven and earth, you know, we thought He was pretty busy up there, right? Well, He's not too busy to look across the whole earth. And He's saying, where are they? Where are my people? Where's somebody that cares? Where's somebody who says, my heart is yours, God. I want to be a part of that thing in Willow. I want to be a part of what you're doing in my job. I want to be a part of what you're doing in my community. And by just starting to think about this, starting to pray about it, starting to read the scripture, it's like you have raised your hand saying, here I am, God. Here we are, right over here, Willow. And then He is literally beaming His attention on you to strongly support what God has called you to do. So what could you possibly face that you could not carry out with support from God on high? So would you stand with me? And if I could have some instrumental music, what I would like to do is read the scripture over you again. So I'm going to read it as though you're saying it directly. So you can kind of just repeat it in your heart. For the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout the whole earth. And He wants to show Himself strong on my behalf because my heart is totally His. So Father, today we're going to thank You right now that hearts are being awakened, that destinies are being activated, that the vision of Willow is being set in motion as a people of God have raised our hand individually and collectively to say, oh God, here we are. We want what's next. We don't want to just look at the promised land. We want to walk in it. We want to taste it. We want to see it. We want to be part of the story. Lord, thank You that there's room for everybody, that there's need for everybody. And I ask God today for those who have been discouraged about their lives to receive huge encouragement, to understand that this is a very personal word, that God in heaven looks at the heart. And for those who just raise their hand and say, Lord, I'm not perfect, but hey, I want that. My heart is Yours, that You rush in with angels, God, and that You rush to our aid, and that You begin to enlighten our minds and show us where to walk, and that You, oh God, have shown up in strong support of Your people. You know, Rick and I want this personally, but more than that, you know, God wants it. Your leadership team wants it, and I have to believe that You want it as well. We're going to have a little time of prayer right now. I'm going to point out, I've put together a couple of books that are unto this theme because it's the message we carry and are taking everywhere we get an open door to do so. The world is in need of men and women who know what their lives are about and are bringing God's impact. And so let that be us. Let that be you. What I'd like to do now is just invite you to, first of all, if I have a prayer team or ministry team, if you'd come forward, we're going to do things a little bit different. And so we've got a few people here. Now, I'm just going to ask you to find two or three people close to you and kind of bless each other in this. And then the ministry team, I'm going to ask you to just walk through the aisles and just go around, bless people, and see if there's somebody you can pray for. And we're going to take about 5 minutes here to just seal this with a blessing of God for the transformation that Willow is stepping into. I look forward to coming back and seeing this place full. I look forward to hearing a good report. We consider ourselves part of you. We cut our teeth here, and we are for you. We believe in you. We believe in what God is doing. So go ahead and gather in twos or threes. Just pray a little blessing over each other. And ministry teams, just kind of go through the aisles, find somebody to bless. And let's keep other conversations to a minimum, but do the blessing thing.